Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for VCU basketball, and we are committed to taking you closer to the action. I am here in the head coach's office, Phil Martelli Jr. with VCU basketball for AWOD and the coach. What's up, coach?
AWOD, it's great to see you. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Hope everybody out there had a good holiday there and ready for Christmas now. Now we're right in the full swing of Christmas season.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, and thank to you and your team for winning on Wednesday, making my Thanksgiving work out nicely. So we got to watch the game, do the halftime show, and then have a nice meal. And I know you guys met on like Monday for a Thanksgiving meal.
We did. Yeah, everybody that traveled with us, obviously the team, the support staff, coaches, some families. We were able to do a nice Thanksgiving dinner Monday night since we were a little busy, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Well, I love that. This is AWOD and the coach here on 910 The Fan. The first Wednesday of every month, we sit down with the head coach of VCU men's basketball, Phil Martelli Jr. And, I thought that tournament atmosphere was terrific. And you got the turnaround, right? And the rest and learning scouting reports quickly. How can an experience like that benefit you in March?
Yeah, I mean, everything we do is with some eye towards the future. So that's the A-10 tournament, right? You play one day, you got a quick turnaround, you got to get ready to play the next day. You know, obviously in these settings, you're playing each day, where in March, you have to win to get the next day. But gives us a blueprint, right? Like gives us a blueprint for, hey, this is what we want to do with our meals. This is what we want to do with our recovery. This is what we want to do with film and walkthroughs and all these things. So, it's great to do it in November where you can not have the stress of having to win that game. Now, there's a lot of stress in trying to win all these games. But you know you have that next one, so you can kind of plan out. And we were fortunate, got three really quality opponents, obviously got two wins. So that was good, but certainly with an eye towards, hey, this is some stuff that, hey, we want to do this when we get to March and we get to Pittsburgh for the A-10 tournament. Yeah, these are things we want to keep in our back pocket. We want to do this. These are things that we did that, hey, maybe, you know what? This is not what we want to do, right? The timing of this wasn't perfect, so let's fix that.
And so you come back from the Bahamas with a 2-1 record in the MTE. And I think we have to start with the bench boost this season. It has been huge. We talked about in preseason how deep this team is. I mean, it's really helping. So how do you kind of manage the rotations at this point in the season?
Yeah, I mean, we're getting nice contributions across the board. And the beauty of this team has always been that it's a true team, that it's deep, and there's a bunch of different ways it can go. Now, the trick of that is we have to stay committed to that, and it can't turn into like, well, I played well last game, now this guy's playing well, and now he's got to move out of the way because I want my shine. No, like we're all going to have to commit to making those sacrifices, understanding that yes, some night it's your night and your night your minutes are going to get extended because of that. Some night it's the next guy's night and his minutes might get extended. And it has nothing to do with, oh, you did something wrong. It's just that guy needs the minutes right now. His matchup is really good, or he's flowing. So, you know, it's just kind of continuing to keep monitors on that. Again, we continue to keep eyes on what groups are playing well together, what, you know, two-man groups, three-man groups, four-man groups, and five-man groups are being effective. But certainly it's game to game, right? And matchup to matchup. Sometimes we need to be bigger. Sometimes it's okay to be a little bit smaller. Sometimes we need to be a little bit faster. Sometimes we need to be a little bit stronger. So we have enough tools in the toolbox, so to speak, where we can go to different versatile lineups. So it's really game to game, you know, with the idea of like, yeah, certain guys are starting to emerge and playing well, so they've earned a little more rope where, but, you know, Friday night is its own game in and of itself. So what does that game present? What challenges does that present? What challenges can we present to the other team? You know, and then what corresponds with that in terms of lineups and minutes?
I love that answer. Can you give me maybe a little more details about, hey, this two-man combo or this three-man combo and why it's working those together?
Yeah, I mean, it is a little bit game to game. Like we kind of come out of some of the games and you're like, hey, you know what, this was really good, right? This was, and there's some things that we haven't been able to do a ton of that, you know, are in the back pocket that, hey, we can always go to, you know, a really, you know, if you want to call it a really small lineup, you know, and maybe slide Mike Bell to the five and, you know, play three of the guards together. Like we have the capabilities of doing those things. But yeah, you can just start to see some of the groups gelling together, you know, like Nick and Brandon have played well together. You know, Terrence has obviously played well coming in, you know, no matter who he's spelling. So you have certain groups there, you know, and sometimes I look at them in three different groups. It's like those smaller guards, if you want to call them that, those bigger wings, and then that group of five men. But we have the ability to blend those groups too. It doesn't have to be, okay, two of the smaller guards, two of the bigger wings, and a five man. So constantly looking at that, like, hey, which of those guys are playing well within their groups, which guys are playing well, you know, group to group, you know, across groups, to say, hey, you know what, like, hey, Nick and Barry are playing really well together. All right, let's explore that. Why? You know, and we have all these tools, and we have Mike Parmi, who's the best analytics guy in the country on our staff, but we have all these other subscriptions and tools that we use that, you know, you can sometimes get lost in it. But to me, it's more, okay, well, if we need to be, you know, a smaller group, what's the right mix of those guys? If we need to be bigger, what's the right mix of those guys? Hey, these guys are being really productive together. So if we are a little bit smaller, we're still rebounding at a decent rate. We're still, you know, doing these things, you know, well. So it's constantly looking at that without getting paralyzed by too much information.
Coach Phil Martelli Jr. with us here, VCU men's basketball, and the defense this season, it feels like it can turn on like a switch. It can turn off like a switch. It's been really impressive at times this season. What would you point to during some of the struggles in like a 4-minute stretch where you've seen your defense get stop, 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 and then there's a 3-minute stretch where the other team's scoring? Like, why do you think your defense has been so good at times and then can turn off?
Well, I mean, it's you know, we've played really good offensive teams, so to think that you're going to shut people out is – not possible. You know, we haven't given up, obviously, to start a couple games, and then Vanderbilt is a different beast. You know, there have been some runs to start those games. Why? I don't really have a concrete answer. You know, because then we start the Virginia Tech game on a really good run ourselves. So
right,
that's just the game sometimes. Again, playing really good offensive teams, and we're a really good defensive team. There's a push and a pull sometimes. Like, sometimes it's going to be our defense winning out. Usually when we are giving up those little spurts, it's like we've just kind of relaxed on one of the details, right? Like, hey, this guy's a shooter. We're not letting him get any touches. And then all of a sudden he gets two or three touches, you know, like the kid from Virginia Tech did. He's going to make some shots. If he gets touches, he's going to make some shots. You know, and so for you know, where we are, like, yeah, that stuff has continued to clean up and needs to continue to clean up, right? Like, we aren't perfect on that end yet. But yeah, it's just, it's hard to shut people out, you know? And so, yeah, sometimes we're locked in and the details are good and our connection is good. And then other times, hey, we just lose a guy, right? And you get, this guy gets loose, or they run a really good action that we haven't seen before, that we haven't been, you know, we weren't prepared for, and they score off of that, and that's the game.
Yeah, but you mentioned, you know, I did think your team responded to the coaching staff by getting off to a good start against Virginia Tech, and people always say basketball is a game of runs. Seems extra true with this team. Is that maybe how deep you guys are? There's so many different combinations, or maybe it's just like, hey, these guys are still getting to know each other. But do you feel like it's basketball's game of runs, but with this team, we've seen a ton of them?
Yeah, I mean, some of it is the way we play. Like, we can put stops together. We can score in bunches. You know, sometimes there's just so many possessions, although recently not as many, but in some of these games, there's been so many possessions, that's going to happen. I mean, that's just, again, that is the game. So, again, we just want to be consistent all the way through. And consistency doesn't mean we're scoring on every possession, and it doesn't mean that we're shutting people out on every possession. Consistency just means we're doing what we do at a high level, right? We're sharing the ball. We're taking care of the ball. We're rebounding the ball. On the defensive end, we're really sharp with our coverages and what we're doing and how we're guarding certain guys. So, you know, that's the consistency. And yeah, early in the year, you're going to be still fighting that battle of finding that consistency. Like everybody else, like the 364 other teams, we're doing that, right? We're still trying to find that consistency, both individually and collectively. So as we get further on and get more comfortable with that, you know, and that consistency comes more, you know, hopefully it's more runs for us and less runs for the other team.
I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for VCU basketball, and we are committed to taking you closer to the action. That's Phil Martelli Jr. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD and the coach. We are here in Phil Martelli Jr.'s office here for VCU men's basketball. They return to Richmond and have a game Friday night at the Stew. Pack the place. It's been an awesome home atmosphere this season. I want to talk about a couple of dudes. And Nick Lewis has been an animal. I mean, that dude has been awesome. I'm such a fan. He seems like, it's not like he's getting better every game. He's getting better by every media timeout. Like every time he checks back in, he's improved.
Yeah, I mean, Nick is, he's all business, and he is a very willing listener, very willing learner. You know, and he is. I mean, it feels like every day, every rep, every whatever, he just continues to play at a higher level. You know, certainly things that we can clean up with him, you know, get his assist to turnover ratio, get him shooting the ball with a lot of confidence. He makes a lot of shots in practice and workouts. And, you know, sometimes he settles a little bit for ones that are too deep when he can get a little bit closer to the line, which I think will help. But, yeah, I mean, he's just a, you know, he's been a catalyst for us, right? Like somebody you can rely on every day. We talk about that consistency, his consistent work ethic. you know, his consistent practice habits. It's no shock that he's to anybody in our gym that he's playing at the level he is.
Barry Evans seems like the most versatile player, and you know, he came with you. You know him very well. It seems to me like he's becoming the heartbeat of this team. When he plays well, the team plays well. Why do you think it makes him so important for this team?
Well, it's just his energy, you know, and like you said, there's a number of things that he can do and a number of ways that he can affect the game. And for him, it's I've said this now a number of times, like he just has to settle into, you know, affecting the game through winning plays, through his defense, through his rebounding, and then the other stuff comes. When he's locked in, you know, Virginia Tech, he was locked into guarding what everybody's talking about as a first-round draft pick. He was locked into defending that guy. He was locked into making the tough plays. And because of that, he scores the ball, right? And for him, it's not, well, I'm going to go in thinking I have to go get 20. That never works for him. It's always when you're locked into the right things. And we have a couple guys like that, that when they're locked into just, hey, this is what we need you to do right now to go win this game, then the sunshine stuff comes along, right? The shots and the points, that all comes along, you know, as a secondary effect.
Coach, everybody asks after your first MTE, how did this team grow? It's so important for you guys to bond and create chemistry on these MTEs. But also, this is your first time as a coaching staff going on one of these adventures and playing basketball, but also kind of getting to hang out and get to know each other. You got your brother on the staff, Rozelle, Burgess, all these guys. What was that experience like as a group for the coaching staff?
I mean, it's hard. There's not a lot of time for that, to be honest with you. There is some for the players, which is really important, and you could feel that with them. For the staff, it's a little bit tougher. We're you know, doing scouting reports and prepping for games, and while I'm sitting with Jimmy, had the South Florida scout, while I'm sitting there, you know, with him going through South Florida, you know, the other guys, Brett Nelson was doing Vanderbilt and Chris Cole was getting ready for Western Kentucky if we played them, and, you know, down the line. So it's harder to kind of have that time. You know, the games end, since we were the first game in a lot of those situations, our game ended. We're going back to the meeting room, but two or three guys are going out to live scout, you know, because, you know, the next game is somebody that we're going to see. So it's a little harder to get that staff bonding that way. It was good to have the families on the trip and to see the kids running around. I love that part of it, and having that family atmosphere is really important to me. You know, so it was nice for them. I hope the families, I do think the families bonded, you know, quite a bit. You know, they've done a good job kind of getting to know each other, and the wives and the kids and have all become, you know, good friends already. You know, so to see kind of them walking together and headed out to the pool while we're headed to practice, or see them having lunch together is a nice thing.
But you mentioned like the quick turnaround, how that's practiced for March with your assistants, getting to see how they can kind of turn around a scouting report that quickly.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff is big, right? Like, again, that is, you know, that is that practice that we need. And it's now, you know, I can see, okay, who needs a little extra time on that scout, right? Who can quick turnaround can I go to and say, all right, we're playing so-and-so tomorrow. Like, what do you got? You know, but these guys do a great job. I mean, they all are super prepared. You know, Brant B-Rouse had the Virginia Tech scout. He was ready in a tough situation because you're coming off a loss. So you feel like, hey, we got to win. It's a in-state rivalry. So there was a lot of extra pressure, but he did a really good job with presenting the right information to our guys, because, you know, sometimes it's hard as when you're scouting, you come up with so much information, but the reality is there's only so much that can be passed along that can be processed. And the real key to doing a great job with that is figuring out, okay, these are the bits of information that they absolutely have to know and make sure they get that across. And B-Rouse did a good job with that with the Virginia Tech game. You know, so yeah, I mean, I have a lot of confidence. I have confidence in our players. I keep saying that, you know, there's 13 guys down there that, you know, 1 through 13, I'm very confident in them and their abilities. And this staff up here, I'm extremely confident in what they can do, you know, recruiting trail, scouting, on the court player development. Like, we have it all.
So I'm sure you're excited to return to the Stew for your game Friday against Samford. And in the press conference, you talked about how you know their coach, you have a lot of respect for him and his offense. Can you tell me more about that? Because I love learning about like coaching connections. How do you know him?
So Lenny Acuff, he's pushing like 700 wins, career wins, was an NAIA coach. I mean, I think he may have coached at every level, NAIA, D3, D2. I don't know if he ever did JUCO or not, but, he was a tremendous coach, or is a tremendous coach. Most recently at Lipscomb, did a really good job there, got the Samford job in the spring. He has spent some time on some NABC boards and stuff with my dad. And then, we've connected somewhere along the way over the years. And, just a really good guy, outstanding coach, getting that program. Obviously, they've been really good. Bucky McMillan, the head coach, got the Texas A&M job in the spring. He gets that job. I mean, that's a program that's won 20-plus games, I think, every year for the last however many years. And Lenny will do the same, he's a really, really good offensive coach. Everybody plays five out now and does all that stuff, and he was doing that, years before. So one of those guys that will never get the credit for kind of pioneering some of this stuff. But I bet if you went around and asked a bunch of these coaches, like, hey, whose stuff have you kind of watched and seen and taken from to figure out some of these options with your five out stuff, his name would come up more often than not.
I love to hear that story. Coach, you return home here, and this is a crucial stretch of home games in December. And it's an opportunity for some guys to maybe develop their game before conference play starts. And I want to start with Tyrell Ward, because I feel like there's so much juice left there to squeeze out of that lemon that we haven't seen yet this season. What do you think it's going to take to get Tyrell Ward going? What have you seen so far from him this season?
Well, it's just continued reps. I mean, for me, like going into this, I've said this to him, I've said this to the staff, I don't know if I've said it publicly, but, when you have that much time off, like, it's really almost 2 years where you don't play a game, a year and a half to 2 years that you don't play a game. There's going to be these ups and downs and ups and downs. And he's had that. He's had that in practice, too. There's been stretches where he's been really good. There's been stretches where it's like, okay, he's still figuring, getting that rhythm back. So, I'm not concerned about him at all. I think when it hits, it's going to hit, and it's going to hit big. And, the biggest things with him is he continues to be a great teammate. He continues to go out there and play his butt off every time he's out there. He's playing super hard, including, at the end of the Virginia Tech game. That those last 2 minutes of that game, again, in a game where it's double figures, the outcome is kind of was what it was. Everyone knew. We're coming out of there with a victory, and he's out there running around getting deflections, and gets a deflection that leads to a steal on a transition opportunity for them. So when you're doing things like that and being engaged with the team and with winning, he's been a bright spot in that regard. And it's when you have the right attitude like he does, and you're bought into the team and winning and the right things and all that. Eventually the other stuff will come along. And again, for him, it's just continuing to find that rhythm, get those legs that'll carry him through, deep into March.
Coach, the fans have had a thrill watching T. Hill light it up from long range, like 50% from three. And I think a lot of fans will tell you he didn't get many looks last year. Now, there was a logjam at the position, but he showed off ball handling, a nice fadeaway. And it's, of course, a credit to him, but also, like, your coaching staff for identifying how much of a strength that could be to help the team. How does that work in the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, again, I'll go to his work ethic is a really, really high level. He gets a lot of shots. He's a guy that I've, spent a lot of time telling him in practice and workouts and things like that. Like, you're open, shoot the ball. Like, you're open there, shoot it. So trying to just find the right opportunities for him, the right shots. Again, like, not forcing shots, but when you're open, you got to shoot the ball. Like, that is a major weapon. But you could see it. I mean, he's a very confident player. He was confident the day we walked in here. You could tell he was a confident guy, and just needed the opportunity. And credit to him. We compete a lot. We compete every day since June, whatever that date was, 6th, 7th, 8th, something like that. And, you know, he has responded to all those competitions, right? Like every time he has stepped up. We're playing 1-on-1, he stepped up and won. We're playing 5-on-5. You look at his numbers at the end of the day, you're like, man, his numbers are really good. So, you know, again, credit to him and having the ability to not just be a shooter. Like that's what will overshadow his whole game right now because of the way he's shooting the ball. But, you know, one of our best possessions against Vanderbilt was him making an extra pass to Bam for a three at the top of the key. Like that's a sign of a good, mature, winning player, and that's what he's turning into.
Lazar Djokovic has been so good when he's on the court this season. I've had a few fans reach out. It seems like he's constantly getting injured. Is that the level of effort that he plays with? Is that the position so tough at his height? I mean, how do you think that he's been dealing with all these bangs?
Yeah, I mean, it's just stuff that happens, right? Like, just sometimes it's just it finds you, right? Like, that injury bug finds you a little bit. I mean, the most important thing is that he's proven to be able to bounce back quickly and play through pain and play through, you know, these minor injuries, and, you know, knock on wood, they go away here soon, and he can just play free. But yeah, I mean, some of it's that, like the effort that he's playing with. He's, you know, any of the injuries he's had is because of he's going after a loose ball or going after an offensive rebound or, you know, chasing a play down. So again, not a concern, and we certainly want to keep him healthy, keep him on the floor. But knowing that when he needs a break, we have guys that we can put in that can help cover that and play well.
So I saw you go down the slide. The video was revealed, and your message: this team can rebound a little better, huh?
Yeah, I mean, if I can do that, then you know, we can increase our offensive rebounding percentage and decrease our opponent's offensive rebounding percentage. So, no, it was fun. It was nice. You know, the way everything worked out, obviously. Perfect world, we would have gone 3-0 and won the championship down there. But, you know, the consolation prize of going 2-1, playing the early game Friday, you know, beating an in-state rival, if you can call it that, you know, beating an in-state team, and then being able to spend some time with our families and out in the sunshine. Although it wasn't even that sunny. It was kind of overcast. But just being able to be outside and be in that environment on Friday, you don't enjoy ourselves after a win, because if we hadn't won, that would none of that would have happened. So,
Coach Phil Martelli Jr., I'm Adam Epstein. This was AWOD and the Coach here on 910 The Fan. Really appreciate you doing these. This is the first Wednesday of every month here on AWOD Radio. You've called me AWOD now. Do you have a nickname that your friends call you?
I do, actually.
Is that Coach Telly?
No, well, players do call me that. My nickname that some family members, I think Jimmy's the only one on the staff that will probably refer to me as this, but Turk, T-U-R-K. And it came from, I was a freshman in college, and I was in the locker room. I don't remember if it was a practice, a game, before, after, but I was brushing my teeth in the locker room. Because, you know, those freshman dorms, and you know, I lived in a dorm where it was like one long hallway and a bathroom. And so any time that I could shower and kind of groom myself in the locker room was better than McShane Hall bathroom, first floor bathroom. But yeah, I was in there brushing my teeth, and my teammate Bill Phillips, who's an assistant at University of Delaware now, he walked in and saw me brushing my teeth, and he started calling me Turk for Turk Wendell, the baseball pitcher who was the superstitious guy that used to brush his teeth in the dugout in between innings. So it happened because of that, and you know, that when I was young in coaching, most of my peers, most of my friends, that's how they knew me, and that's what they called me.
I love a good nickname story, yes. And that's a good one. Coach Turk.
Yes, that was it, Turk. None of the players know that, I don't think. They've never called me that. Yeah, that's what a lot of people called me, and I do. I love good nicknames, but like organic nicknames. Like I won't honor self-given nicknames. Like people come in and go like, well, my nickname is – you can call me this. I'm like, why? And they're like, well, I just started calling myself. Nah, you don't get that. You know, we'll come up with a nickname for you for sure.
Yeah, challenge to the student section now. Can we get a sign that says Coach Turk?
Hey, if they come up with it, that's great. We just need them there. I just want everybody there. we need this place packed. This team deserves that. I think, you know, the energy that they're bringing on the court, the way that they're playing, how hard they're playing, it deserves that, you know, energy in the stands. And we've gotten that through these first couple home games. But now with this stretch of home games throughout the whole month of December, you know, and what I would tell people is like, don't be that person in February that's sitting there going like, man, I wish I had gone to see those guys in December. I wish I'd been there for that game. Or wish I, like, there's this group has something to it. We obviously have to continue to improve it and tighten things up to get to the level that we are capable of getting to. But, you know, I would ask people, you know, get your tickets, show up, be loud. You know, we will honor that with how intense we're playing on the court. And, you know, again, like, why not? Friday night, a couple weeks before Christmas, what a great date night. You know, go get something to eat, come to the game. You know, maybe stop, get a beverage or two on your way home. And, I mean, that's a hell of a night.
How about it? This Friday night, you can hear right here on 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. The Rams at home take on Samford. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.